Tonight is a Thursday night, February 13th. This is the weekly Chumash share. Tonight is the Shabbos, is Parshas Yisro. Okay, Rabotai. What I'd like to do is look at one pasuk, which is the introductory pasuk to the Aseret HaDibrot, and I want you to look at it from the perspective of virtually everybody except Rashi. Virtually everybody except Rashi. And then try to understand why Rashi makes a big deal out of this particular pasuk. So it's chapter 20, verse 1, Perek Chaf of Sefer Shmot, pasuk Aleph. And as you well know, none of the Parshanim in Chumash make any comment unless there is something bothering them about the text. Otherwise, you would never, if they wrote on every single pasuk, you'd never be able to carry a Chumash. It would be too heavy. So for a point of departure, look at page number 3 for a minute. And on the top right-hand page, all I do is look at the Rashbam. What is his opening comment? What phrase is his opening comment in this chapter? It's on Lo Yielecha, Pasuk Bet. And the Ramban starts with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then on the bottom, the Radak talks about, on the left-hand side of page 3, Mispar Aseret HaDvarim. He's talking about the number. What are the Ten Commandments? So here you have three classical Parshanim, Ramban, Rashbam, Radak, who say absolutely nothing about the introductory pasuk to the Aseret HaDibrot. And the reason why they say nothing is because a little child in the fifth grade can understand every word of this text without anybody's interference. So if you look at the Pasuk Aleph of chapter 20, Vayidaber Elohim et kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor. Okay. So what does that mean? God said all of the following things. Very simple. And yet, Rashi is going to comment on every single word of this particular pasuk. He's one of the few who actually comments. There are a couple of others. On page number 1, I bracketed the Sfarno, and on the right is the Cheskuni, on the bottom is the Sfarno. So some do, but as I said, the overwhelming majority don't. So let's take a look at Rashi, and we will try to identify, as I wrote in the title, Vos Badelt Rashi. What's bothering Rashi that he feels compelled to make a comment on every phrase? So on Vayedaber Elohim, Rashi makes a comment. Ein Elohim Elo Dayan. The phrase Elohim is to teach us that God is prepared to act as a judge. As a judge. Now, the word Elohim appears many times in the Chumash. Many times in the Chumash. In fact, the word in the next week's Parsha, in Parshat Mishpatim, where the word Elohim means, there is only one interpretation what that pasuk means. What does it mean? Bezdin. Judge. So if you open up to chapter 21 for a minute, Pasuk Vav O Zayin, I'll tell you in a second. Open up to Perek Chaf Aleph, which is the beginning of Mishpatim. So we're talking about a slave who does not want to leave. The Torah says in Pasuk Vav, Vehi Gisho Adonav Elho Elohim. Now Rashi doesn't comment and say the word Elohim means a Dayan. It's obvious. That's exactly what the word means. Elohim means a Dayan many, many times. A little later in that particular pasuk, it says, in that particular parsha rather, the Torah says, I'll give you the exact pasuk. Where? Adonav means, he says Adayon? What does it say? What? Lebezdin. Okay. Rashi does say it there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's another one right there later where it says, Ad ho Elohim yavo devar shnehem. Two people are fighting. There are many such psukim. So, but what triggered Rashi's comment? What triggered his comment? Yes.
In the other cases, it's referring to an actual spot. It's referring to
a good.
With which midah of
okay. But what? That is. But does every time that Rashi tell us quote the word Elohim, Rashi's going to comment Elohim means a Dayan? Think every time in Chumash that the word Elohim refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi is going to say, oh, Elohim means a Dayan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting as a judge. What's troubling Rashi is that virtually the entire Perek Yutet, the name Hashem, Yutke Vavke, is used to set up the preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. Almost, not completely, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu must appear 25 times in Perek Yutet, and 23 times it's the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and twice it's Elohim. And here it doesn't say Vayedaber Hashem, it says Vayedaber Elohim. So Rashi is commenting that here I want you to know that which will be stated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being stated from the perspective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using his midah of din. Rashi explains, what do I mean, his perspective of din? Lefi sheyesh parshiyot batorah she'im asan adam mikabel sachar. There are certain mitzvot of the Torah that if you do them, you get a reward. V'im lav, but if you don't perform them, eino mikabel alohen puranut. You don't get punished if you don't fulfill your responsibility. Yachol af aseret hadibrot kein. Perhaps the aseret hadibrot should fit into that particular category. Talmud lomar, vayedaber Elohim, dayan li para. Therefore it says Elohim, not Hashem, God is prepared to offer judgment. So can you give me a mitzvah or two in the Torah where if you do this, you get a reward. If you don't do it, you don't get punished. Can you name me? There aren't that many. Tzitzis is the classical one. Right? If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, you wear tzitzis, you get reward. If you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, nothing happens. Can you think of five others? Yeah? Shuluach HaKan. But that's only if, which situation? If you took, did you take the children? If you took the Beitzim or Ephrochim, then you'll violate a lav. So that won't be. But if you just pass by, that's a secondary debate, which I don't want to spend time on, but there is a debate. If I have no interest in the Beitzim or the Ephrochim, must I be Mekayin in the midst of Shiluach HaKan? But that's not my... Give me another perfect illustration. If you do something, you get reward. If not, you don't. What? But that's a lav. Also. Okay, you don't have to have a roof. Exactly. Okay. If you don't have to buy a house. You don't have to eat meat. You don't have to eat bread or every day of Sukkos. If you eat in the sukkah, you get credit for a mitzvah. But if you don't eat in the sukkah because I'm not eating bread, under those circumstances, I violate absolutely nothing. Fine. So we can find a couple more.
Tefillin.
What?
Tefillin.
Okay. So tefillin should be in that particular category as well. But for some reason, the Gemara calls a person who doesn't wear tefillin karkafta de lo monach tefillin. A person ahead that doesn't have tefillin on. But it should fit into that category. Tell me what's difficult about Rashi's suggestion. He's trying to answer the question, why Elohim? Why is Rashi's answer incredibly difficult? So that in order to remove my suspicion, I need the word Elohim to say, oh no, don't treat the Aseret HaDibrot this way. What's difficult about the Hava Aminah that Rashi is proposing?
Most of the Aseret HaDibrot already, there is products.
They're Lavin. Seven of the ten HaDibrot are Lavin. Seven of the ten. How could one suggest that the Aseret HaDibrot are like tzitzis? If you decide to fulfill the mitzvah, you get a reward. If you don't fulfill the mitzvah, you don't get it. No punishment whatsoever. You mean to tell me if I don't steal, I'll get a reward. But if I do steal, nothing happens to me. By a lav, you can't say that. Is Rashi mean to say that tzitzis is going to compare? You're going to compare Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzisicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Belief in one God is like tzitzis. If you believe in God, that's fine and dandy. But if you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't get punished. What's the Hava Mina that Rashi would think that I would apply that standard to of the Aseret HaDibrot? And now, how do I remove that possibility? By switching to the name Elohim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dayan Lipara. Dayan Lipara. He is a judge ready to mete out punishment. And how does the word Elohim necessarily mean that he's ready to mete out punishment? Elohim means a judge. Doesn't mean that he's ready to mete out punishment. First you have to deliberate. So what's the connection? The difficulty, I don't have an answer to that. How Rashi thinks that the Aseret HaDibrot would fit into that category? What do you want to suggest?
There's another part. You could have started with Vaydaber is also a
stronger Lasho.
As opposed to Moshe, Vayomer.
Okay, but that we all know that's true. But if you see, I would say the overwhelming majority of the mitzvot of the Torah are given not Vayomer Hashem o Moshe Lemor, but Vayedaber Hashem o Moshe. Overwhelming number of mitzvot. So the Rav once suggested about Elohim that we go back to Parshas Bereishis to get an inkling why Ein Dayan Eloli Parah. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in chapter 1 only with the name of Elohim. Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Or. Vayomer Elohim, Tachei Oretz Desha. Right? Everything is Elohim. In the natural world, try to defy the natural world and say, in our Rabbi Nisham, I don't really think that your natural world's laws are worth anything. I'm going to jump off a building and I'm not going to die. Because I'm not subject to the laws of gravity. When I jump off the building, I'm going to be standing right at window level. No problem. So what happens to you under those circumstances? You're going to die. There is no choice. When you violate the natural law created by Elohim, the punishment is immediate. Dayan Lipara. No questions asked. No deliberations necessary. Suggests Rashi that by the Aseret HaDibrot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans on operating on the same plateau. I am not just a Dayan, I am a Dayan Lipora. And anyone who violates any of the Aseret HaDibrot is going to be treated as if you violated the other set of laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created through the word Elohim, namely natural law. And as a result, even though three of these are mitzvot aseh, and seven of them are lavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am so concerned about these ten, at least according to Rashi, and I warn you, I am Elohim Dayan Lipara, the judge not sitting to wait and deliberate, the judge who's ready to issue punishment, right away. Now Rashi occasionally uses it in a positive sense as well. When a mitzvah ends after commanding the mitzvah, then it says Ani Hashem. So Rashi says, not always, but sometimes, Ne'eman l'shalem sachar. I am the God who is prepared to issue reward, probably in the world to come, and for performance of this particular mitzvah. But here, what's bothering Rashi is why Elohim, when the previous perek is almost completely Yud Kei Vav Kei, the sudden switch, the Havav Min of Rashi is a little difficult, but his point is well taken. Then Rashi moves on to the next word of the text, Eskol Hadvarim Ha'ele. So Rashi here, without telling us, again, I showed you other parshanim, I'm not bothered by this. Because a simple read means God said all of these words. That's it. But Rashi is troubled. Who needs the word kol? It could have said, Vayedaber Elohim et hadvarim ha'ela leimor. So Rashi, and by the way, none of these are original Rashi thoughts. Every one of these comments that Rashi makes are directly taken from the Mechilta. And in one case, I'm going to show you the Mechilta, because Rashi deliberately only quoted half the Mechilta. And it makes a very big difference, the second half of the Mechilta. But here, what does Rashi say? Eskol hadvarim o'ele, melameid she'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu aseret hadibrot, bidibur echad, ma she'i efshar le'adam lomar kein. God said all 10 commandments at the same time. Something that the human mouth is not capable of stating, nor is the human ear capable of hearing 10 sentences at the same time. Im kein, ma Talmud lomar od anochi? Why does the Torah now have to state anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yiyeh lecha? He already said all 10. Vayedaber Elohim et kol advarim o'ela. Now the comment is not the most complex, not the world compelling question in the world. You know why the Torah had to say it? Tell me, because I don't know what those 10 things, what those words were. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all of them at the same time, the Torah has to say them to let us know what those 10 phrases that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at one time. So what's Rashi concerned with? Why does it say Anoichi Hashem Elokecha if he already said all 10 at the same time? So Rashi answers, Shechazar upiresh al kol dibur v'dibur bifnei atzma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the 10 commandments twice. Once all together, and once one at a time, so that we would be able to understand what he was talking about. So when you see a medrash like this, always be guided, I've mentioned this in shul many times, that if you believe that the story in the midrash could not have happened, you are a heretic. If you believe the story in the midrash did happen, you're a fool. You have to have sensitivity to know when the medrash is trying to communicate reality and when the medrash is trying to communicate the point. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say all 10 at the same time, of course he's capable of doing it. But no one heard him, no one understood him. So why would he do something like that? And evidence, he had to say all 10 at the same time, right thereafter, so that Am Yisrael would have half a chance of understanding it. And the answer, again, interpretation of the Medrash, that traditionally we believe that the first set of Luchot are mitzvot shebein adam lamakom, even though there is some debate about Kibud Av V'Em, whether it's a mitzvah shebein adam lamakom or bein adam lachavera. Mark, you were by Minch Marv, so you heard that. And the second set of Dibrot are bein adam lachavera. So some people pick and choose. There are those who are very makpid on mitzvah shebein adam lachavera. They're honest, they're decent, they're caring, they respond to tragedy and human suffering. But mitzvot shebein adam lamakom, they belong in the museum. Those are outdated, have no significance to us, And there are other people who do the opposite. They're very careful about mitzvah shebein adam lamakom, but are not terribly careful about mitzvah shebein adam lachaveira. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicate to us that each and every one of these mitzvot are of equal significance? How does he do that? By the Medrash, by saying they're all said at the same time. Because when you present your top 10 of anything, you know that the 10th is not as significant as the first. It's number one because it's significantly more valuable or meaningful than number 7 or number 8. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us there is no number 1, there is no number 10. Each one of the Aseret HaDibrot are as equally important. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicate that message? Through the Medrash story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all 10 at the same time and then repeated them. But what bothered Rashi is the word kol. Again, I emphasize, a Rashbam, a Ramban, a Radak said nothing on this pasuk. I showed it to you, nothing. That means from a textual point of view, there is nothing difficult about this text. Yet Rashi feels there is something deficient, and here he's troubled and sparked by the word eskol hadvarim. So he answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all 10 at that particular time, at the exact same time. At the exact same time. Then Rashi comments on the last word, lemor. So why would Rashi find the word lemor difficult? It appears hundreds of times in the Torah. And here I can say almost definitively, Rashi never says a word by the word lemor. So what's bothering him? Why does he only comment here? So how did you learn how to translate the word lemor in the fourth grade of JEC
to tell it to
other people? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had many dialogues with Moshe Rabbeinu. Some of them were only for Moshe's ears, and some were to be shared with the rest of Am Yisrael. So when it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, that does not tell us who the following words are directed to. Are they limited to Moshe, and he's having a personal conversation, or are they intended for all of Am Yisrael? So the Torah tells us its cue is that this is directed for Am Yisrael by telling us Lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells it to Moshe to begin the process of transmission. Moshe told it to Yehoshua, Pinchas, and Elazar. That's it. Occasionally the Torah tells us that Moshe spoke directly to the nation. The most famous illustration is Parshas Kedoshim. Right? Taber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, says Rashi, melamed shenema behakel. Everybody was assembled, Moshe spoke to them directly. But usually, Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, and that's it. They told a bigger group, and that's how the message got disseminated. Why doesn't Rashi want to tolerate that here? Yeah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking directly to us. That was the intention. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Vayidaber et kol advarim le'ele, doesn't have to say the word lemor, because he's talking to us directly. The intention was to recite all Aseret HaDibrot together in front of all of Am Yisrael. So Rashi asks, what does the word lemor mean? Yeah.
Does it already say in the previous passage?
Yeah, it does.
So that
it actually does. That might be... What does it exactly say there? No, that's Vayomer Alehem, that means something else. That's the warning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just provided.
As opposed to the
Dibros. He warned them, don't come near to the mountain. Anybody who comes to the mountain is going to get killed. That's what Moshe did. So, what do I mean? Lay more. So Rashi answers that the word lemor means that Am Yisrael made a response to each command. So what does Rashi say? Melamed shehayu onin al hein hein ve'alav lav. For every positive commandment, they said, hein, we will observe. For every negative commandment, they said, we will not transgress. That's what Rashi says. Fine. So in order to see the whole picture of what Rashi has in mind, please go to page number 6, which is the origin of Rashi's comment. Actually, page 4, excuse me. Bottom of page 4. Which is lifted straight out of the Mechilta. Lamar. Milamed shehayu omrin al hein hein va'al lav lav. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omer al hein hein va'al lav hein. Rabbi Akiva said, they said, yes, we will observe for both the positive commandments and the negative commandments. And Rabbi Shmuel said, the way Rashi quoted. So obviously Rashi feels that Rabbi Shmuel is correct if he omits deliberately Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Despite the fact that whenever Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Shmuel, we always paskin like Rabbi Akiva when it comes to halacha. This is not necessarily halacha, so you're not bound by that opinion. But what's the kernel of the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? So the Rav suggested that the following is the debate. Now, I trust his understanding of the English language, and he said the following. As a parent, you see that your son or daughter is befriending someone who you perceive as a terribly negative influence. So you have a nice schmooze with your son or daughter, and you try to explain to them why this person is not a wonderful friend of yours, and then you come to the final line. Please do not play with this young man or young woman. The child can say, no, I will not play. Or the child can say, yes, I will not play. What's the difference between the two responses? Whether you said hein or lav. So the Rav suggested the following. That if you said, no, I will not play, it is on account of the fact that I agree with you, Mom, for enlightening me. And that your judgment of that person was right on. And no, I am not going to play with them. I concur with your judgment. And that's what a person is responding when they say, Lo tirtzach. Rabbi Shalom, you tell me not to kill? No, of course I'm not going to kill. I understand fully well how killing is immoral, terrible. And what happens if the child says, yes, Mom, I will not play with them? That means, Mom, you don't have a clue as to what this person's all about. They're a very good person. They're a very positive influence. But you're telling me, so I have to defer my will, suspend my impression, and accept your judgment. That's when you say, yes, Mom, I will not play. Same thing is the serious debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel as to what ought to be the logic and the philosophy of observing mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Let's call them the way Sadyagon identifies them. Mitzvot sichliyot, logical mitzvot, for which 90% of them, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not legislated, man through their own intellect would be capable of arriving at this prohibition. Good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't murder. I have a right to say, says Rabbi Shmuel, I fully subscribe to that. Why would I think that you're allowed to murder? So when you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me not to murder, I will now respond accordingly. No! You're 100% right. When you say, lo tignov, I will definitely not steal. Definitely not. Rabbi Akiva says, that works most of the time, but doesn't work all the time. There are some doctors sitting right here in the office, in the auditorium, and we know today one of the raging debates is assisted suicide. Assisted suicide. So several doctors will make the point, I'm doing a favor to this person. He's in terrible pain, whatever it is, he feels like life is worthless. They may have been, the terrible machla when you forget everything.
Alzheimer's.
Person's had Alzheimer's for 15 years. And the family says, he's 94 years old, ended already. Just give him a little medicine, he'll be dead in an hour or so. It's logical. If you use your own intellect, one could say, I can make a case for assisted suicide. I can make such a case. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's the danger. If compliance with mitzvot lo taseh, which are sichliot, and the response is, of course I understand why you shouldn't kill. Because in the one case where you feel that doesn't apply, you're going to take that, you're going to participate in assisted suicide, and the halacha says you're a murderer. How does Rabbi Akiva want to assure the fact that we are not necessarily going to use our intellect in determining and affirming whether or not I observe the law of lo tirzach? I don't say no. I say yes. Because there are times, Rabbi Shalom, when I think killing somebody is appropriate. But you said no? That's going to be my response. Same thing with lo signov. I mentioned this yesterday when I gave the chumash. My grandfather was one of 16 children. And they lived right next door to a church with an apple tree. And all I heard as a kid are the times that my grandfather and my great uncles and great aunts were climbing over the fence to get an apple. Because they had nothing to eat. Literally nothing to eat all week. So if I respond to lo tignov or lo tigzol in Parshas Kedoshim, that's really stealing apples. This is lo tignov is kidnapping. So then I'll say, yeah, of course you're not supposed to steal. But if you have nothing to eat, I'm going to prosecute somebody for stealing because a poor person passed one of the 40,000 fruit stores in Borough Park on 18th Avenue alone. 40,000 fruit stores. And he's nothing to eat in 3 days. He took one apple. I'm going to prosecute him. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you might not prosecute. Says Rabbi Akiva, Melamed Shehayonin Alav Hain. Rabbi Nishalaylam, I suspend my judgment. I defer to you. And if you're not allowed to steal, tell your grandfather he should go ask the church for permission to have an apple. You don't climb over the fence and steal. You don't walk by and just steal an apple from the fruit store because you haven't had anything to eat. So what Rashi here, by omitting Rabbi Akiva's opinion, is actually telling us that he subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Otherwise he would have quoted the whole Mechilta. The whole Mechilta. But this is not the only response to the question as to why the word Lamar appears. There are a handful of Mefarshim who try to answer some of the questions that Rashi raised and give somewhat of a different answer. So if you go, for example, to page is it? In that page? Yeah, so take page one for a minute. Page one for a minute. Look at on the right hand side, on the right hand side of the page is Chizkuni. And he addresses the opening question totally differently. He explains the entire pasuk and says, I know that this pasuk is totally superfluous. There are no simple there are no real difficulties. Vayidaber Elohim et kol advarim o'ele. Kavayachol ki adam hamisader bilibo divarim kidei la'omrom la'acherim. How does Chizkuni interpret this entire pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's planning a big speech. So when you plan a big speech, what does the speaker do? He prepares. He may even tell his wife, I want you to listen to how I'm going to present this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in effect, does that as well. Before he starts, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he practices Vayidaber Elohim et kol advarim o'ele leimar. He's practicing with Malachi Hasharet or anything like that. So the entire pasuk, according to Chizkuni, is not superfluous. It's telling me something very simple, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah communicates to us about certain tendencies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the human perspective, through the human prism. And a human being would do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing. Ki Adam HaMisader Dvarim, Belibo Dvarim, either he prepares it to himself, or he says it to someone else. Here, says Chizkuni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell any of the angels. Vayidaber Beino Lebein Atzmo. He didn't speak to him. It doesn't say to whom he spoke. It just says, Vayidaber Elohim, God spoke. To whom? We don't know. So therefore, sometimes when the Torah records that somebody is speaking and doesn't tell us to whom he's speaking, it means he's thinking about his thoughts to himself. Thinking about himself. Then he goes on to say, on the word, Lemor. V'achakach, Lemor liYisrael. Yes, the word Lemor is exactly the way it is always used. Namely, not a response the way Rashi gave. It's used that he's about to tell it to the rest of Am Yisrael. Because first HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it to himself. V'achakein Lemor liYisrael. So Chizkuni here looks at this pasuk and says, I can explain it very simply without a medrash, doesn't rely on a medrash, and explains it contextually, simply al pipshat. If you go down on the bottom of page number one, Svarno, one of the few other people who commented on this particular pasuk, Vayadaber Elohim, Achar He'odat Moshe V'azharato, after Moshe complied with the warning given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you remember the end of Perek Yutet? God told Moshe to warn the people they're only allowed to go till here, not beyond that. And then Moshe goes up to the mountain and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech Reid, go back down and warn them again. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? I just told them. What do you want? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Just listen to what I tell you. Go back down, warn them again. So the last thing that we know is that Moshe complied with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. That is the pasuk that Simcha made reference to. Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu warns them and warns them again because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them. As soon as Moshe complies with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to warn Am Yisrael, There are no further delays. And now what happens? Vayedaber Elohim es kol hadvarim o'el elemor, says the Sfarno. Acharei he'odas Moshe v'azaraso, after Moshe cautions and warns them, diber Elohim aleihem kol eila hadibrot, ki omro, as it says in Sefer Dvarim, et kol hadvarim ho'eile, diber Hashem el kol kehalchem bahar. So it is possible to simply read the text in a very simple, contextual way, without any difficulty, not necessarily to comment word by word. The majority of Parshanim, as I showed you, did not read any. Look at page 2. That's Ibn Ezra. Not a word on this pasuk. He spends these several pages, does Ibn Ezra, just bringing up issues about the Aseret Dibrot, not this pasuk. Rashi was troubled individually with every single word, relies on a midrash as he does 90% of the time. Sometimes the midrash has an apparent, has a very simple meaning. Sometimes it has not just so simple meaning. Sometimes the hava meaning that Rashi introduces is very difficult, particularly the one that I would have thought that the Aseret HaDibrot are to be compared like Tzitzis and Sukkah, very difficult. But then, at least now we have made sense out of Rashi. Have a good night.